Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time for Breaking Chains with P31 Ladies Night, where we work to give females increased self-esteem, establish a healthy self-identity, and motivate females to obtain high noble character as detailed in Scripture. Get involved in the conversation by calling in at 858-357-9137 or catch the live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Good evening and God bless you. Welcome to Breaking Chains. We had to do a last-minute double take on last week, the To Could Be Continued show. I tell you, last minute, y'all, so I do apologize. It's P31 Ladies Night and the Men of Valor coming together, and we're going to do a last-minute show, and I just had to throw it together like at the, I'm talking about the last very second. So let's kick this show off. And let me get these mics together here. I'm telling you, I'm very last minute on this show. And Pastor Zena, can you open us up with prayer? Because I think I got some people here. Is Pastor Zena here?
I'm here. Good evening.
God bless you. Can you open us up with prayer, please?
Yeah. Father God, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us to come together tonight, Lord God, on this conference call, Lord. We lift up our voices, Lord God, to you, Heavenly Father, asking, Lord God, that you will be in the midst, that you will go before us, oh God, and speak to each and every one of us. Give us words to say, Lord God, encouraging words, oh God. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that with all and everything that we do, Lord God, that it will be unto you, Lord God, righteous before you, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, use us, Heavenly Father, best as you know how. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Breakthrough, looking for my breakthrough, my breakthrough, looking for my breakthrough.
You know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, so you know what I'ma do? I'ma keep on pressing.
Cause I refuse to.
I'ma step and press, you know what I'm talking about?
I refuse to.
Cause I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah, let's get it.
Cause I refuse to let the devil steal my joy.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil sing my praise.
Nah.
I'ma lift him up and phone him with my voice. Agree with me, then let me hear you say,
I just came out of season of depression that taught me a lesson to keep looking up, yeah. Don't go weary in your well doing. Just keep on pursuing, even though it might get rough, yeah. The devil ain't stopping because we're sleeping. He's steady creeping and seeking a way to make us fall. So I encourage you to be strong in the Lord. Battle with the sword and always stand tall.
Stand tall,
yeah. You might got Joseph in it, but God can get you out of it. Grace and mercy will grant you a way of escape about it.
Yeah.
It ain't no doubt about it.
No.
That's why I'm running for him like I'm power talking. Look, I love him for
yeah.
real. It ain't nothing for me to cut out and run up in here. I'm falling in love with Christ like the one pushed me off a pier. He's my mighty battle last, so I ain't got nothing to fear.
Hey.
Don't need no mattress, I'm a spoken in here.
Hey. Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil steal my joy.
Yeah.
I refuse to let the devil sing my praise.
Look unto the hills and begin to give him the praise. Don't stay down in depression.
No.
Count it joy and temptation.
Yeah.
Stage 1 and 3, read the trying of your faith, broke your patience. Patience to overcome.
Yeah.
Patience to run this race.
Yeah.
Patience to stand on his word. Trust him and keep the
yeah,
faith.
Yeah.
So let us stand united. The devil want us divided. Each of us have got purpose. Together we make up the body. I'ma give it my all. That's the end of discussion. I represent G-O-N and that stands for God or nothing. So let me encourage you to do all you can do. Stay humble and committed. Allow the spirit to work through you. The trouble's on the way. That's something you can't avoid. Now I tell you, I'ma be strong in the Lord. Devil sing my praise. No. I'ma lift them up if only with my voice. And if you agree with me, then let me hear you say,
Breaking Chains with Young Adults Talk
on YAT Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Breaking Chains. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's P31 Ladies Night. Mixed in with the Men of Valor. We had to do it again. It's Wednesday night. Good evening to everybody. God bless you all over the world that's tuned in. Oh, wow. Check it out. I got Minister Jackson on. I got Pastor Gann on. I got Pastor Zeno on. I got Evangelist Laquina. Is she here? Evangelist, you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
hello,
God, everybody's on. All right.
Yes,
I can do my battle cry now. Oh, So how is everybody doing today? Is everybody good? Everybody good? Blessed of the Lord,
yes,
I'm sure.
Blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
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 I hear everybody's voice, so I know we're blessed of the Lord. So that's one for the books already. Listen, we got to continue from last week. Pastor Gann, I need to hear your voice, sir. Let us hear your voice, please.
Glory to God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Enough said.
Had Bible study. Just got off. Just done with Bible study. And sorry, y'all. I had to throw this last minute show together. Got to be at work tomorrow, so we're not going to stay on. I know it is after 10 where Minister Jackson is right now. It's after 10 where Pastor Gann is right now. And I know nobody minds doing the work of the Lord. I already know that, so you don't have
Amen.
To.
Amen.
Amen. I know.
Amen.
Pastor Zena, Evangelist have to get up very early. Oh, yeah, I got to get up very early in the morning. I know. And we just going to jump in. I'm going to tell you what last week and this week's Bible study was about, because Minister Jackson, I told you when we had our conversation on the phone that I was going to step back and just watch some things on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it was something last week and this week, rebuke, reproof, and exhortation. And you had a conversation. You had a conversation on Facebook today that was very amusing to me.
Okay.
But could have got was very confrontational to a certain extent as well. And
okay.
I want to bring that to the forefront to jump this conversation off, because we all men and women of God here. And I want to put this out in the forefront right now, because these are things that are going on right now. And I want to start off with this one particular scripture that came to my mind when I was reading that. And I'm going to go around the room with this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. It says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, I read that because there's a lot of separation going on in the so-called church. There's a lot of division going on in the so-called church. And I say so-called because God is not a God of confusion. So
amen.
When there's confusion going on, God's not in the midst of that. And we need to understand what all of this division is all about. And the conversation that I saw going on today was about you made an admission to something that you are dealing with, and you made it out in the open so that people can pray. And you were called out and chastised as if, you know, you were doing something wrong because you were not sowing this seed into a certain ministry by doing something, by not, you know. Yeah. So here's my question to all of this. When we talk about division in the church, is the division so bad that when the world looks at us, do we look worse than the world?
Yes, we do.
I want to start with you, Minister Jackson, because that conversation, and I want to take just a few minutes because we got we don't want to waste a whole lot of time on a lot of with answers. I want you to take a couple of minutes and answer that. Do we look worst in the world on these situations, because we got a lot of division and separation going on, and where are our fruits of the spirit at? Do we look that bad?
We do, because first of all, I should have not letting my emotions get in the thick of things. But you know, when people are quoting scriptures and people are trying to act like they are so in place, you know, and yet you trying to call me out because I asked for prayer because of something that I'm facing that I know I can't change on my own.
Absolutely.
And you know the word of God in the book of James, he said, let us confess all faults one to another that we may pray one for another.
Absolutely.
You know, that we may be healed, you know. And, you know, Rod, I've talked to you time and time again. I've become transparent from the crack cocaine addiction to the whore-mongering ladies. Forgive my articulation. But I have to keep it real because that's just me. God has done too much for me to allow something as insignificant as what the cigarette. I'm having issues with cigarettes, you know.
Right.
Been going through some things, and that's like my pickup, even though – I hate it, dislike it, don't like the taste, but that's what I turn to. And like I said, God has delivered me from some things far greater. So I know he delivered me through the action of asking for prayer. So why would you initiate something to divide or to separate when I'm trying to ask for a unity of prayer, because there's power in unity first and foremost? Okay. But I'm not going to get away from what you said, because first of all, just like you said in the beginning, God is not a God of confusion, you know? And when we allow ourselves to be, I allow myself to be sucked in by the enemy, but I will defend the word of God with my life. Because he gave me life. The word of God gives life. And, you know, people try to be so intellect and quoting scriptures and all that and pointing the finger, and I will not stand for it. I'm sorry. I will confront you. I will confront you to the very end. But it causes separation. It causes division. But now, when we are, and I think I talked to you about this before, and I know you said cut the show. I think we talked before, when God is in the midst, if God shows you something, the same scripture one way, and he shows me another way, we're supposed to come together and the Holy Spirit will allow us to see it from both point of views, because the Holy Spirit will let us know that it's the same thing. But some people will try to take it out of context and not see it because they're blinded by the enemy. You know, they were sent just to cause distraction, just to cause confusion. You know, and that is not the work of God, but the work of the enemy. And we have to, and when the people say, okay, these are two men of God claiming to be men of God, that's going head to head. You know, they're going toe to toe, with not holding back blows. But when you identify, and if you read into it, and if you saw what was taking place, you would understand what was going on. You getting upset because I'm asking for prayer, that goes to show you right then and there, that you are not of God. Because who would go against anybody, any man, woman, or child that's coming, confessing their sin, saying that I can't handle this by myself, I need help? Why not turn to my brothers and sisters that I know that are effectual prayer warriors? Because it's in his word. So don't try to combat God's word with God's word. That's confusion. That is not of God. That is the enemy trying to, where he calls in deception, he's calling division and separation. I didn't realize it until later on tonight I said, I'm done. But Rod, I mean, we've talked constantly, and you know by now, it's easier said for me than done for me. Because I'm not going to sit idly by and let the enemy make a mockery of God's word. I would be less than a man of God if I did so. So I'm going to confront and I'm going to defend God's word. But maybe I could have did it in a different way or different manner. I don't know. But at the time, it was like, I told you to pray for me that I don't do things in my emotions, that I do it according to God's word, the way he would have for me to do it.
Right. Right. And on you saying that, the best person to that I'm going to let come behind you on that, because I'm because I had to have this conversation, Pastor Zeno. Pastor Zeno.
Hello.
Pastor Zeno. Pastor Zeno. Pastor Zeno, did you hear what that brother said? Did you hear the minister? Because Minister Jackson, this pastor right here, I've had to have some conversations with her, and she's I'm going to let her come behind you, simply because she's had to pull me back, and give me some words of wisdom, and to understand some things. So Pastor Zena, I want you to come behind him and to feed off of that and advise us and give your words of wisdom.
Okay. As best as I know how, through the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Amen.
So what you were saying, that you asked for prayer on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so, for one thing, it's okay to ask for prayer on Facebook.
Okay.
But, okay, so just say that we all have weakness. We're walking with the Lord, but we all have a weak point. And if I don't want the world to know my weak point, I should confide in somebody that I can go to and knowing that they won't expose how I really feel or whatever, but they can talk to me and correct me and rebuke me, and I should be able to receive it. But it's difficult when you're trying to deal with the world going against you, and then you have two Christians on Facebook warring against one another as far as the Lord's word. And we can't do that. We can't do that, because God's word is God's word. And as far as trying to battle each other with scriptures, that's we can't do that because you got the whole weak world, those that don't know Christ, is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They already said that we, you know, a young lady told me, she said, I don't care to go to church because the church ain't no better than the people in the church is no better than the life I'm living, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they sit back and they watch Christians. They watch us as Christians. And then the Facebook is not the place to do it. If you want to talk to somebody about praying for something you feel you feel weak about, area in your life, confide in somebody that you know that you can talk to. Confide in somebody. You're not searching for somebody that would candid your situation and not correct you on it. You want somebody that can correct you on it and rebuke you for certain things, and y'all get off the phone feeling good about what you talked about. You're not mad with that person not mad with you. But when you put Facebook in it, then you're going to have everybody's opinion. You're going to have arguments and all of this. Okay.
Okay.
And so when you put your emotions in it, your emotions get the best of you, and then that's when things can really get out of hand. You know, we can't let our emotions guide and direct us. We have to let the Spirit of God guide and direct us, because our emotions can get out of hand, and then we can say some things that we cannot take back. Because it's just like a text. Once you said in the text, and sometimes, have you ever spoke into your text instead of typed? And when you speak into your text, and then you send it, and then you look at it later and say, that's not what I said. So that's how we feel. When we say things out of emotion, we'll say, that's not, I didn't mean what I said. I didn't mean it like that.
Late.
You can't take it back. It's sent. And so we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit and not by our emotions, because emotions cause division and separation.
Okay.
And so a divided house cannot stand. And so we as Christians, we're supposed to stand together and not separate. Facebook is not the place to have our battles with each other as Christians on Facebook, where the world that don't know God could see it. Because that's like catching good fish and throwing it back out there in the sea. You're throwing it back out there, or you leaving it out there without putting it back in the water. You're leaving it on dry land, and it's begging for water. And so the church, the separation comes through stuff like that. Separation and division, it comes through things like that. When we can't agree to disagree. We have to come to a point where we can agree to disagree. It's okay to agree to disagree. God can, like he said earlier, God can give us the same scripture, but he can give Brother Williams a different scripture than, a different point of view of it than he would give me. We'll come out with, all of us on this phone can get the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:10, and we can all read it, but my God, we can all get a different sermon out of it. And so when we get a different sermon out of it, what the Holy Spirit gives us, we should agree on it, because it's what God gave you. It's what the Holy Spirit gave you. What's the argument? You want prayer?
No, go ahead. I'm listening, but I just want to respond to something after you finish. But I apologize for cutting in on you.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. And so, Brother Williams asked, when we talk about division in the church, and why do we look worse Why do we look worse than the world? Yeah, sometimes we do. Some churches we do. Some in some areas on our jobs we do. If we can't control ourselves, we do. We look worse than the world. You know, you being a Christian on a Sunday, but then you being somebody else throughout the whole week. And so if we don't read our Bibles and study our Bibles, we wouldn't be so easily moved. We wouldn't be so easily moved. Brother can say what he want to say on Facebook. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move. You're not gonna change me because you ain't there yet.
Jesus.
So you, when you find your root, you are able to stand still and weather any storm. That's any conversation. Mm-hmm. And people can talk and do whatever they can make their comments. I'm not gonna move.
Amen.
Because I'm founded. And when you're founded by the word, the emotions can't move you. All of this, it might touch you, but it won't move you the way it used to.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Holy Spirit would catch it. And when the Holy Spirit catch you, then it won't let you settle into your emotions. It won't let you fall into your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so let them say what they want to say, but when you want prayer, pray for me that I could that my dinner come out all right. But when it come down to things like that, it wasn't secretive to you. You already said God delivered you from different things in your life, and the secrets is a battle. But the world ain't to ask you. You're not to ask the world to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not to ask the world to pray for you. You are to ask your Christian brothers and sisters to pray for you. And then some of you can't go to everybody,
mm-hmm.
but you can go to somebody that you can talk to that won't
mm-hmm.
take it no further than you and him, and that's it. And that person
mm-hmm.
will go in agreement with you and pray for you about that thing, and it can be, you can be delivered. But Facebook, I would not. No.
Okay.
I'm feeling.
My Lord.
But, understand me. Facebook is a ministry to me, and I spread God's word through Facebook.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I feel that it is a platform that reaches from corner to corner. And I
mm-hmm.
understand exactly what you're talking about. But I specifically, when I ask for prayer, I specifically ask God's prayer warriors. You know, so I try to specifically ask, and I understand exactly what you're saying. But now this
yeah.
particular situation,
mm-hmm.
because I've asked for prayer before, you know, and everything that you're saying is true, you know, because normally I would this morning before I even asked for prayer, the devil came at me twice, like you're supposed to be a man of God and. You asking for prayer, you should be, you know, but God said post. That's why I posted it. I was like, no, I ain't going to post this. But the Holy Spirit said post it, you know, and I did. But now the division came from this brother I met a couple of months ago, him and his wife, at Walmart. And they were telling me about
Hold on. We ain't
okay.
gonna entertain
okay.
them. Oh no, not on this
oh,
here
okay.
show. We ain't finna
okay.
do that
okay.
one. I don't mean to cut you off,
okay.
but we ain't finna entertain that.
No, you're fine.
No.
You're fine.
Oh,
I was just
no.
trying to
we
say where it stemmed
that.
From.
Oh yeah,
okay.
yeah. I understand that, but we not gonna entertain. We got other guests on this phone, man. We got other people.
Okay.
You finna entertain
okay.
that brother right there. I read all that stuff. I'm not gonna entertain that.
Oh okay then.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no. I told you
okay.
once before, man, when we had the conversation, if that's your ministry, you post your ministry. You don't entertain people
okay.
on that. You just post what you
Amen.
Need to post, what God tell you to
okay.
post, and you keep it moving. You don't have to respond
All
to
right.
people. You know what I'm saying? Because God
okay.
don't need
okay.
don't need us. God don't need us fighting his battles. He fights our battles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
He's our warrior. You know what I'm saying? He's our fighter. You understand?
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? That man there was pulling you out of your character so he could be saying, see, I told you. He's one of those dudes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? And you don't need, God don't need you to do that. You just keep doing what you're doing. Because what you're doing putting God's word out there. That's all you need to be doing. Because there are people out there that need God's word. Evangelist, you out here in these streets every day. Why does the world look at us the way that it does?
For one, we're not, as what the words say, and as confident in who we preach about and who we speak on. You know, the world today is when I was in the world, and of course when all of us was in the world, we was just as courageous and bold for the devil. But once we got saved, once folks get saved, I'm gonna put it like that, we seem to kind of
chill out,
tanker down.
yeah,
you know, you're not radical. You're not that devil, as the world would say, a daredevil. You ain't bold, and we're in the right place on the right side, and we're not as confident in the Lord as the way the church really need to be. We have to know without a reasonable shadow of a doubt of who we serving. We have to know without a reasonable shadow of a doubt that God is a healer. He will deliver me. He will set me free. He will do this and do that for me. We show the world too much of weakness in the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? As for my brother, you know, you got the struggling and everything with the cigarettes. I used to smoke myself, you know. People, it's good to have people praying with you and all this and that and that and that. But if you just get in that word, see, God saved me not in a church, but in Roger Williams Project. He saved me at my house through his word. You see what I'm saying? The more I got to know Jesus, I fell in love with that man. So I learned the Holy Ghost. She said, a stranger voice, my sheep know my voice, a stranger, they won't follow. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really step into knowing God's voice, the Holy Ghost voice, and you have to follow his voice. You see what I'm saying? The Spirit of the Lord told me to go 3 days and he'll break the chain. And that was the first time the Holy Ghost even spoke to me. I wasn't even speaking in tongues then, I don't think. But I laid out on that altar. And God delivered me from cigarettes. That same day, my little brother came to my house, wanted to fight for apparently no reason at all, really, something that happened long ago. But see, the enemy, he was trying to use him to get me out of character. And I had to go in warfare mode. And I had to go in warfare mode of myself, my flesh. You see what I'm saying? So we try to fight a lot of stuff that really just be us. We be fighting our own flesh. It's a spiritual warfare. And that's all that you in, my brother, is a spiritual warfare of yourself. It's the flesh got to die to the spirit, man. So the more words you put on that flesh, the more it got to die. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you need, is the word. Dissect that word. Read the word. Don't worry about folk. It need to be you and Jesus. Get intimate with you and Jesus. With you and Jesus. But that's the thing today, you know. And in this hour, the church going to be tested. And this hour, God was giving me the other day, we are in the day of Acts. God was putting in my mindset about
Stephen.
When Stephen was stoned. We coming into a time where we're going to have to be bold in the Holy Ghost and say what thus says the Lord. The world don't care nothing about the struggle. The world wants you want to be free just like we want to be free with what we go through in our life. You see what I'm saying? So we need to be preaching the anointing, the power of God, showing the world that he is a deliverer, he is a healer, because God is. But it's what we putting on the inside of us. What are we eating on a day-to-day basis? We have to live and breathe and walk this world like it's our last.
That's the hour we in. So that's why the people in the world looking at us like we weak. Because we ain't holding up the true blood stain of banner.
Yeah.
We quiet. We too quiet. We don't have to fight with our fists, but people can look at you and tell whether you full of God or not. You see what I'm saying? They know when you in God or not. In the body, the world know this here. They just stuck in this trance of the world. But it's prophets out there. It's evangelists and preachers out there. You see what I'm saying? I was an evangelist way before I God saved me. I just had to come into him to know who I was created to be.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who they are and still saved. They don't know whose they are. You see what I'm saying? So the key today, the church got to find their identity. Walk in it on the promises of God. We're not walking the promises of God. And then we can do the greater work. But we need to walk in it for ourselves first. It got to be evident in us first for it can be evident in anybody around us.
Lord, have mercy.
The world don't see it because the people don't see it, the church. And God is crying out to the church today. That's why judgment coming to the house of God first. We done got too comfortable with prestige, with titles, with money, with buildings, with cars. We done got too caught up in the system. And the Bible clearly tell us we ain't in the world. We ain't even in this stuff. If he take it today or tomorrow, we cry. We done lost Jesus because we ain't got it. We giving the world a false hope. You see what I'm saying? It's a false hope. And if you ain't got this or that or that, then you ain't saved. The devil is a lie. No.
Yeah.
I still hold power if I don't have a roof over my head. You see
That's
what
right.
I'm saying? I was just homeless I was homeless 2 months ago. Then nobody
my
knows.
Lord.
I didn't stop doing ministry. I didn't stop doing nothing that I had to do
That's
for
right.
the Lord.
That's right.
I didn't allow
Amen.
The cares of this world to distract me.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
I didn't allow it to distract me. I had to keep going because I know what the Spirit of the Lord was telling me to do.
Yeah.
Man, we better know without a reasonable shadow of a doubt in this hour, you're going to be tested.
Amen. That's right.
And don't let your ministry be marked because God is not a marker.
You're
going to do that. Use wisdom, my brother. Use wisdom. Call on Jesus or call one of us on the phone. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just use wisdom.
Yes.
But he's going to set you free.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's why he got tested today because he being set free. That's why he got tested.
Yes.
He got tested.
Jesus,
that devil came to test him. That's all that was. That was a test.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
all that was. It was a test. And you all right, brother.
That's what
you covered in the blood of Jesus.
That's
you know
what I'm saying?
Nobody got to clean no blood over you, and you already been drenched in it over 2,000 years ago. So you know what I'm saying?
That's
you ain't covered in that blood.
That's
you ain't stepped in that blood. Man, come on now. The
That's
elder,
it.
The great one, Pastor Gant, we waiting to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, don't go.
Bring that wisdom on in here.
Amen. Well, I have to follow behind my sister and saying that, you know, when it comes to the division that's in the church, I'm going to go a step beyond what you all are talking about tonight, because, you know, when we talk about our growth in the Lord, we have to realize, you know, if you understand the physical things, you can understand the spiritual things. And as a child of God, you know, we have to grow. You know, first you're a baby in Christ, and then you're a child of God. You're a child in Christ. And then you become a teenager in Christ, and then later on you become an adult in Jesus Christ, and then you become a full woman or a full man of God. Okay, that's when you understand the word of God. That's when you done walked in the Lord. That's when you done been in the Lord 20, 30 years. You done been in the Lord 40 years. Okay, you know the Lord. See, so once you first come to the Lord, you are sanctified in Him. Meaning that you know, me, I was in the military. I was a counter-drug operative. I was a military policeman out there doing counter-drug operations. Man, on the average, I did about $300 worth of coke a day, and I had no fear of going to jail because, shoot, I was the law. I was the law.
My Lord.
We ran the Panama Canal. We did all of those things, but when I came to the Lord,
My Lord.
A babe in Christ, God delivered me from the cigarettes. God delivered me from the coke addiction. He delivered me from the alcohol addiction. He delivered me from the fornication and the lascivious.
Hallelujah, Lord.
And boom, He delivered me from that right away because He had a mission. Now, He did that for me, but He doesn't do that for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, He leaves some things in us to try us, to tempt us, to lead us, to build us up in Him, to make us depend on Him. But with me,
yes,
as far as my ministry was concerned, He delivered me at one time. My mother, who was an alcoholic, and, you know, she smoked, and you know, she had her problem. When God delivered her, bam, He delivered her at one time. And what He did is He used my life because of my street credibility, because of them being known on the streets of Atlanta. Well, streets of Atlanta, I was a counter-drug operative, so I operated all over the country and in other countries. But when the Lord delivered me, it was an example to all those people. They were like, wait a minute. God, what? Gann is saved? You know what? He don't smoke no more. He ain't drinking. He ain't doing no powder. What? You know. So that made them curious. So when they came, guess what? Boom! God delivered them. You know, God delivered them because they were like, if God can do it for Gant, then I know He can do it for me. Okay. And so our lives are different examples. You know. But that's when I was a babe in Christ. But right now, some of us are just teenagers in Christ. You don't have that same, you know, you don't have that same thing. If you can imagine a teenager, you know, a teenager, and if you can understand the physical, you can understand the spiritual. A teenager is rebelling against their parents. A teenager wants to explore life. A teenager wants to get out there and find out about sex. They want to find out about weed, they want to find out about this, they want to find out about, you know, all those things, you know, they're curious about those things, you know, and so they think they know everything. They think mom and daddy don't know nothing. Like, you know how teenagers talk, like, y'all just don't understand. Wait a minute, what you mean? We were teenagers once too. and the same temptation that you have, we had that same temptation, but now as your parents, you think that we don't understand what you're going through, okay? And I think that when it comes to the body of Christ, we want to try to put everybody in one category. You know, everybody is not an adult in Christ. They haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have the grace. You have to have the grace to allow them growth. You know, you can't come out there and be criticizing them and putting them down because they're not at your level of growth yet. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's it.
That's good, yeah. Pastor. That's good, Pastor. That's real good. So in other words, that Minister Jackson, that man ain't on your level. don't stoop to his.
Amen.
Don't stoop to his level. Just throw him a hook line and just hope that he'll bite on some bait and, you know, he'll get reeled in, you know, and catch up.
Amen.
We have to that was something that I wanted just to discuss, and that brought on a very powerful conversation. Here's my next part of the conversation for tonight. We talked about something on last week and said we need to continue that. Let's pick up right here. Relationships. we were talking about relationships, and I want to start off because we were talking about relationships, but guess what? The most important relationships of all relationships is our relationship that we're supposed to have with God first.
Amen.
Because if we don't have that relationship with the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we don't have relationships at all. There's not going to be any perfect relationship at all. You know what I'm saying? There's not going to be any healthy relationship at all. Matter of fact, the relationship that you have with yourself is not going to be healthy. You know what I'm saying?
My Lord.
If God is not involved. You know, so the thing about it is that how do we get people to have that healthy relationship with God? How do we introduce people to God today? And that's where I want to start with our relationship conversation tonight. How do we go about introducing people to God today? And this is almost like an evangelism conversation. I mean, a question. How do we introduce people to God today? And we're not talking about going out on the streets evangelizing, because we know we all do that. We're talking about in these last days, because when we go out evangelizing today, you know what you get the feedback and the kickback on. Okay, so we're talking about in these last days where we live in Mobile, Alabama. Okay, Minister Jackson, you from Mobile. Rem Gant, you up there in Atlanta, GA. You know what I'm saying? I know about Atlanta, GA. So we come from Atlanta's a major metropolitan urban community. Mobile is an urban community, over 50% black. Where you are, Minister Jackson, a high percentage of black. So how do we get our brothers and sisters of color to believe that there is a God that still sits high, look low? How do we bring them in? And I'm going to start with evangelists. I want to ask you that question first. Tell us about that one, evangelist.
Okay. Well, how God used me, I just be me. Be
That's
me
it.
And him.
My Lord.
You see what I'm saying?
That's
just
my
showing
Lord.
Them, just making myself touchable. That's what I do. I don't off the rip. I don't be like, you know, well, you know, if you die today, you know where you're going, and this and that and that and that. I don't do none of that. I, you know, just be like, hey, how you doing, you know, and we just get to talking. I can use
Amen.
This example. I started I'm a home health aid nurse, so I started a new patient, and when I the lady was like, I just want to meet you, and this and that and that and that. So I said, okay. So I just went over there so I could meet her and everything, and thought I was gonna work, but she just still paid me for a full day of work, but she just wanted to meet me. So I left and came back the next day, making it extremely real fast, and her husband was there. So her husband met me, and her husband was like, well, you know, they said that you're a Christian, you all this and that and that and that and that and that, and saved, and, you know, you do this and that. You're a preacher. Just was saying all kind of stuff, and I never even once told that lady the day I met her that I'm a Christian. I never once told her none of that stuff. I just met her. You see what I'm saying? And but my perspective, my character, my integrity, let her know that I'm a woman of God, you see, and I guess because she's so in a big church van as well, you know, and she just was like, I like your hair, you know, I like this, I like that, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, so just us, God said that we are the split in the image of him, so when people see us, they see Christ, you see what I'm saying, so just walk in them, that's all I'm saying. Dude, I tell people, it ain't me. No, I promise you, it ain't me.
Mr. Rogers,
stop just being
me. Can I jump? Can I come in here with the evangelist right quick?
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about right relationship. And when we're talking about right relationship, Mr. Rogers said, number one, we have to have right relationship with God. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once we have right relationship, we got a problem in the church today, y'all, where the women are exalting themselves above the men, and they are, you know, because of their position, evangelists, pastors, you know, they're being called in the ministry to fulfill that. But with God, there is an order that he has already set
yes.
in place. A lot of these women don't want to go along with the order of God. So I would use,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Evangel, hold on a minute now, because I want to use the relationship between Mary and Joseph. All right? Between
okay.
Mary and
yep.
Joseph. Now, Joseph was about 40-some years old. Mary was a teenager. She was a young
yes.
virgin. Okay?
Yeah, she was
15. And Joseph had already lost a wife, you know, so he wasn't really looking for another wife. But as pertaining to their culture, you know, he was an eligible man. She was an eligible virgin. So they all had
mm-hmm.
to pick lots, and they all had to go through a thing, you know, a ceremony, you know, where they
mm-hmm.
were going to betroth this woman to a man. Okay? Now, check this out, y'all. God was speaking to Mary first. He was telling her, hey, you're going to conceive a child. This child is going to be of me, all this and that. Okay, but the moment, but glory to God, but the moment she was married to Joseph, guess what? God spoke to Joseph.
Mm. Mm.
You see, Hello. Because God maintained right relationship. He maintained right relationship. And so now, women, I want y'all to jump in on this, because there's a lot of women out there that are asserting their authority in the church, and it is wrong. Go
and
ahead.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. He
writes
about that.
And you're absolutely correct. Evangelist and I have had that conversation, and we've talked about that. And that's a conversation that's ongoing right now. And that's a conversation that's serious right now. But you know that's something that's going to have to be addressed. But until it's
yes.
addressed properly, it's going to continue to spiral out of control because
mm-hmm.
it has to be addressed properly. Because,
right.
you know, when you have a lot of single mothers that are having to be in control of the home and there's no fathers
no, no.
around, she's going to have to be in charge and feels that she's in charge, and she's not going to have that certain type of respect. She's not trying to be disrespectful. She just has to be it has to respect her home, herself, and her children, and especially herself. And I have to look at that in all areas. And when a man does come on the scene, because I've been in this situation, when a man comes on the scene and a bunch of ladies are in charge, oh boy. You know, does he get knocked around like a pinball in a pinball machine? So, you know, but you know that there's that. That's what you call another test.
Mm-hmm.
How does he handle that test? Is he prepared for that test? You know what I'm saying? Because you already know what God's order is. Are you strong
okay.
enough to be the man of God that you call to be to stay in God's order? You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
not let the flesh get involved. Do you stay spiritual or do you get fleshly? And, you know, so we have to make sure and go to leadership and let leadership handle it. And once again, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to Pastor Zena on this one. And because I talk to my sister a lot about certain things, if things get a little, you know, because listen, let me say my part in this, because I can't always just be the one asking the questions. I have to say that, guess what? You know, running these ministries over here is not an easy task. There are always
Amen.
Fiery darts coming at me, left
Amen.
And right, north,
Amen.
South, east, west. They always coming. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm always in prayer asking God to keep the heads of protection around me and everyone affiliated with this ministry. I even tell people when they get ready to get involved with this ministry, make sure that you praying. Make sure that this is what you want to do. Make sure that you are aware of what you're doing, because this is a radical ministry. We about sound doctrine. We don't play with God. We pray to God, and we serious about what we do. So you know what I'm saying? And we going to be serious about it all the time. So yes, I'm always under attack. I'm always having people talking. They don't like to come to your face. They like to be behind you talking.
No, Lord.
And which don't serve no purpose back there. You know what I'm saying? And my sister here, I have to always sometimes just say to her, hey, listen, boom, boom, boom. I have to just let her know. And guess what? She gets in his ear and she lets me know. And she pulls me back sometimes. Because sometimes, yes, it ain't Pastor Rod, it ain't Brother Rod. It's always going to be Hot Rod sometime. You understand what I'm saying? Just plain old Hot Rod. Just hot behind the ear of the collar. You know, and she has to pull me back and remind me, because none of us are perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
When the scriptures say all of us fall short of the glory, that means all
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
There's no
Amen.
Sin greater than the other. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Those that try to sit high and look low on us, man, ignore them,
that's
because
it.
They don't exist. There's only one that exists, and that's the God Father. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the
it.
Mercy,
Amen.
Gracious God. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
all
it.
Them people don't exist in my mind. But sometimes we have to be reminded who we are. You know what I'm saying? That's
Thank
why
you.
God put
Thank
us all down here together,
That's
that we
it.
Can be
That's
our
it.
Brothers and sisters' keeper. We still
keeper.
Are that.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? We still
That's
supposed
it.
To be here for each other, too. So, Pastor Zena, I'm going to turn that mic over to you now, because you have to you have to comment now. It's your turn.
Okay. So, relationship.
Yes,
When I brought my boys up by myself, and up to a certain age, and my husband, now he came in when my oldest son was, I guess he was probably about 11 or 12. So until then, I was in control over the house, the finances, everything. I was in control. And so when I met my husband, who I'm married to, when he came in, I passed the baton to him.
My Lord.
My God.
All control went to him. And so when all control went to him, I didn't have to be dominant over him in our marriage, and tell him how to treat the boys, or tell him. He came in being the man of the family once we were married. And so saying that, our relationship is so good till we have been through hardship and all of this together. We were both on drugs together. And we almost lost our first home, but praise God that we were able to do a quick sale and sell the home. But then we lived with my mom and then moved out from, you know, a year between my sister and my mom. And within 2 years, we were in his mom's house because she passed. And so he ended up getting a job. I ended up getting a job. And so we got back on our feet. And so he told me he would take care of me, and that I believe that. And he has shown me from that day when he said it, he have taken care of me. And so I believe, and speaking as a woman, you know, women do have a place of a man does have the place of authority in the home, and I believe with all my might that a woman should not take control over that. and try and be dominant.
Hold on, Pastor. Now, some of these women out here nowadays, they're making more money than the man. Some of them are in corporate America. They're making more money than the man. Now, how does that come back? Bring that back to the church. How are we supposed to do
that? Okay. So I want to tell you this then. Okay, I was making more money than my husband. My husband was making $11 an hour, and I was making $22.66 an hour. And so I was making more money than him. I didn't try and tell him,
amen.
Well, you listen to me and you this and you that.
Come on.
No, all right.
We work these things together. Yeah, it was. And so we worked that together. And still to this day, we work it together. We were able, and working together, everything came in order because we went into debt with credit cards. But since we've been together and working, you know, this relationship, letting him be in authority over the household, and I pay the bills and everything, take care of, though I'm working, we take care of everything. We don't hide nothing from each other. We conversate with one another. We have been through hardship together. And so most people break up over finances. Most people break up because somebody making more money than the other. But when you in a right relationship, first of all, with God, in that right relationship, you are able to work it out. Through the grace of God, you are able to work anything out. Because leave it to us, if we had not had God in our life, going through financial problems, going through drugs and all of this stuff, we supposed to been broke up, leave it to, worldly thinking. We are not supposed to be together, you know. But we have weathered the storm through a lot. And I would encourage a lot of young people, they get married, they spend $10,000, $12,000
on
a wedding. And then once they go through a breeze of issues, they are ready to break up with their husbands. The husbands are ready to break up with their wives. And it should not be like that. If you're going to have problems. Everything is not going to be candy-coated because you got married.
Mm.
That's when problems and issues really come.
But you got to learn how to
tolerate one another. You can't give up on one another, you know.
No.
And so that's what me and my husband, we do. We work things out. We work it out. Well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? So now we done paid. We are debt-free. We don't have to run
from the
phone no more. We don't have to peep out our windows because of a debtor. We don't have to. And so when you work out your marriage and your relationship and have a right relationship first with God and then with your husband and your family, you are able to work things out. You're able to work things out. Yeah, you're going to have problems, but it can be worked out. It's nothing that God can't handle. And then as for the question you asked, Reverend Williams, about that, how do we talk to a generation, introduce them in these last days? Well, I thank God for my job, what I got now, working in the atrium at Mobile Infirmary. That's the big waiting room. And I get to minister to black, white, Chinese, whatever color. I get to minister to people every day, and I get to introduce people to Christ, ask them, do they have a relationship with Christ? Have they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior? You know, and so I get to do this every day. And so I, in doing that, I took some, this lady was crying about her child, about her son. I overheard her crying. And then I asked her, and it was a gentleman already in the chapel in the hospital. And I asked her, did she want to go in the chapel and I can pray with her? So she said yes. And we went in the chapel, and I prayed with her. And the guy that was sitting in there, he breaks out into tears, and he started crying. So I end up ministering to both of them in there. I end up ministering to both of them. And so by doing that, then after ministering to them and praying with them, we had a group hug, and people passing by wonder what the world going on. You know, because when I first went in the room cleaning up in the chapel, I was dusting. I say, sir, I say, would you mind if I turn the light on? Because you only have the colorful light that's coming in through the, you know, the colorful windows in the chapel. And I say, would you mind if I turn the light on? He say, no, he's still holding his head down. You could tell he was in, you know, crying because they have family members having major operations and stuff. And so he was in the chapel praying. And so he say, no, he say, I don't mind. And I say, you want me to close the door? It's a glass door. I say, you want me to close the door while we're in here? And he say, no, I'm not ashamed. I say, don't get me wrong. I say, I'm not saying it for the shame. I'm saying it for the peace. I'm asking you, do you want me to close the door for the peace? He say, oh, no, I didn't mean to offend you. I say, you didn't offend me. I just want you to know that I was asking you, did you want me to close the door so you can have peace? But as far as being ashamed, no, I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. And I say, and then you know God. You know what he can do. That person, that family member, that loved one that's in the hospital having the operation right now, you know that God is a healer. And so we have to get out of our comfort zone and be able to speak to those white, black, Caucasian, whatever color, however old, however young, we got to get our comfort zone. We can't get into a comfort zone where we talk to people that we think that will listen to us. Talk to people that you think that who God send you to. Those are the ones that we be wanting to bypass. But God has put me into an area in that hospital where I can minister to different people every day. And I'm loving it because I feel this is my ministry. Just like brother said that he using Facebook as his ministry. Yes, and you use it to the best of your ability. But once you get to asking somebody to pray for you, you go to your brother or your sister.
Amen.
Amen. All right, brother. You left.
To God be glory. That's you were saying, like, how do we introduce people to God, right?
Yeah, the relationship.
Okay. I'm a first go to scripture, and I'm paraphrasing 2 Corinthians 3:3, and I think it's 3:2. We say you are epistle written in the heart, in the hearts known and read of all men. God is looking for consistency, you know. Just like Pastor Gantz was saying earlier when he got delivered, you know, people acknowledged how he was, and then they saw the difference of what he became through Christ Jesus. So when we are not just proclaiming and speaking or trying to batter the word on people, we should be living according to the word. We should let our actions show through the godly word. You know, when people see that change from drug addiction to praying, from whoremongering to praising, from whatever the case may be to acknowledging God, and they become curious, you know. They become curious, and a lot of people, they want to just see if you're for real. And as time go by and you get still praising God and acknowledging God and thanking God for what he's done in your life, people, it's like a domino effect, you know. It's so powerful that it just catches on. It just catches on. And when we're consistent in praising God and acknowledging God, you know, I'm in a situation with my job with just like I think it was Evangelist was saying, I got hurt on the van at Walmart. At Tide Dry Cleaners, I was delivering. But when I got hurt, I had to go on light duty. So they put me as an ambassador to Tide Cleaners in a Walmart because we have a station in Walmart now. And I walk around, and I'm supposed to be signing people up for our services. But as I talk to people, because my conversation is all about the power of God because of what he's done for me. And you won't be surprised, but people would be surprised of how people are willing to just receive and hear a word of encouragement about the power of God. You know, even if you have to give your testimony. And I'm talking about older white women. I've prayed in the middle of the aisles in the store. I've told people about the power of God, you know. And the manager, he came to me. I was praying for this lady in the parking lot one time. And this guy, he's the manager of the automotive. He said, "I saw what you were doing out there in the parking lot." I was like, "What?" And he was like, "When you prayed for that elderly woman." And the manager of the store, he came to me. He said, "We see you. We see you." And I said, "I'm not trying to cross the line. I don't force it on God. I'm not on the people. You know, I just present it to them." He said, No one has complained." He said, "I'm not coming to you trying to complain or trying to deter you from what you're doing. But people are seeing it. People are watching, you know. And you like they were saying earlier, we got to be bold for Christ. I was bold for the world. You know, I was bold in the club. I was bold. But we got to be more bold and that confident. And I thank you all for the words of encouragement that you've given me pertaining to prayer. And I know I can call on Rod because I've talked to him about other things, you know, and he's been a listening ear. And the thing that I like about him the most is he don't cut corners. He's going to, just like when I was about to give the enemy credit, he cut me short. And when I talked to him before even being a part of this show, he said, "It's not about nothing but God. It ain't about the individual. It's all about God. We are ambassadors of the word of the kingdom of God, and that's what we're supposed to present ourselves. And when we present ourselves accordingly to his word, it catches on. And God is looking for us to be consistent in our praise, consistent in our prayer, consistent in our worship. So I thank God for each and every one of you all. I really do.
Amen. 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 And you know, we have to, the thing about it is that we have to suit up every day. We have to put on this full armor of God every day.
Amen.
And when we come home every day, you know what I'm saying? Putting on that suit is not an easy task. You know what I'm saying? That's not an easy task to do. You know what I'm saying? You have to be dedicated. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
To the Lord. You got to be dedicated to yourself in the Lord to put that on. You know what I'm saying? People can say whatever they want to say. You got to have
Amen.
A love of Christ to put that suit on. You got to be serious about your life. You got to be serious about Christ's life to put that suit on. Because,
Amen.
See, that says that that's the sword of the Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit we talking about. You know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a shield of faith. That's that right now faith. That's that right now faith. Everywhere you go and everything that you do, you got to have faith. I don't care what you're doing. The chair you sitting in,
Amen.
The road you driving down, when you're cranking up your car, when you're walking out your door, no matter what you're about to do, you got to have some faith. Listen, we're talking about the birthplace of righteousness. Are you serious?
Amen.
We're talking about righteousness. You know how hard that is? You know how hard that is? That temptation is going to come at you every second, every second of the day. That temptation is coming at you. It's going to come at you. It's coming at you. And that helmet of salvation. You know what I'm saying? God gave you that salvation. What you paid for it? How much you paid for it? How much did you spend on that? What did you give for it? You know what I'm saying? And then what does it cost you to tell the truth?
Amen.
How hard is it to put on that belt of truth? Why are we always around here lying to people? Why we got to God don't lead us. We ain't got to lie for God. God's word is the truth in itself. Just tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
God's
word is
you
truth.
Know what I'm saying?
My Lord.
Just tell the truth. Let me tell you something. If I tell you the truth, it may hurt you, but you're going to respect me later. If I lie to you, you
Amen.
Find out I'm lying, I done lost me a friend. I done lost somebody that could be good for me in my life. You ain't never dealing with me no more. And guess what? You ain't going to never trust me.
My Lord.
So why not just keep it 100? I just rather just keep it 100 with you. Guess
Amen.
What? Let's get
Amen.
On with it. You know, this is what it is. My dad say, deal
it
for
is
real.
What it is.
Deal for real with people. Just deal for real. And guess what? Them boots of peace.
Respect.
Come on,
my
man.
My Lord, started preparation.
Come on,
my
John.
Lord.
It's easy for me to walk away from it. Now,
my
there's
Lord.
Two ways we can do this. Now, see, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament tells me that I got on boots of peace now. I got
okay.
on boots of peace now. I got a loose piece. I get to walk away because that's Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. You know what I'm saying? That's that full armor of God. You know what I'm saying? I get to walk away from you. I don't have to think no other way. I got peace on my heart. I get to walk away. I ain't got to look back. I ain't got to say nothing to you. I get to walk away from your ignorance.
My Lord, help me, Holy Ghost.
You get to keep. And guess what? I get to turn the other cheek and turn away and walk away. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish
Amen.
It, but to fulfill it.
There you go.
To fulfill it. The laws still stand in the earth, brothers and
Man.
Sisters. The laws still
Man.
Stand in the earth now. Don't get it wrong. We still men and women of God now. We still will defend. I still will walk away, but I will still defend my family. I will defend me. I don't walk away. But the Old Testament, I don't put the Bible down now. The Old Testament said, guess what? In the Old Testament, God laid you down. The soldiers laid you down too. Showed you no mercy. But thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah for Jesus.
I'll be lifted up.
So let's just stay right there. Jesus said, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So I'm going to send all men to him. So let's just send the men to him because there's too much damage and danger going on in the earth today.
Yes.
And we got to pray against this. We got to get on one accord and pray against this violence. We got to pray against these things that are coming up against God's word. Because God don't need us to defend him.
Amen.
God needs
Amen.
God is here to defend us. You understand? He is the one. He is the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? He
Amen.
Is the solid rock, not us.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? They can't step on us and we'll get back up. We can stand on him all day long. Ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't
all
nothing going to be
long.
Moved. So let's get it understood. So this is where we're at. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to get these final words, and we're going to sign off, y'all, because it's about that time. We're going to take this music break. You're listening to Breaking Chains. It's the P31 Ladies and the Men of Valor. We, once again, we're together, y'all. Y'all weren't expecting it. We weren't expecting it, but we here. Hang on. It's Breaking Chains right here on YAT Radio. Hang on.
Up and go to the church again. No one but you know all the issues that I struggle with. No brotherhood, no bonds, ain't got no real friends. Getting raised up praying, singing songs and passive listening to preachers telling me about righteousness and wage of sin. They say your spirit will always show me just what to do. Don't understand, is it me? Am I missing you? I've been going through long enough, trying to wear a smile, but I can't even hold it up. Not afraid to walk alone, but I need some love. God, my heart is crying out, I'm yearning for you. cause I'm going through. Distractions of this world, the woman, money, yes, it's true. Pressure to measure up the standards that I know ain't real. Got the job in school, he said I know the deal. Put his hand on my shoulder and he said just pray with me. I said I did that, brother, nothing changes, can't you see? I need a brother who is willing just to walk with me. A confidant, a mentor, accountability. I've been going through this long enough, trying to wear a smile, but I can't even hold it up. Not afraid to walk alone, but I need some love. God, my heart is crying out, I'm yearning for your touch.
All right, welcome back, Breaking Chains, the P31 Ladies Night, the Men of Valor together. All right, let's get ready to get out of here. I got a couple more minutes before this thing get out of here. All right, Pastor Zena, could you say your final comments to the audience, please?
Oh, yes. Be faithful in your relationship with God. Always be in prayer. Always be in communion with God. Be approachable where people could would feel free about coming to you to talk to you about the Lord. And also, let's not cause division, but let us be a part of those that causes unity. And most of all, let us be the light which people would see and respect, where we don't have to tell people that we are saved. They could see it, like Brother said. They saw it, the change in him.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Evangelist?
I would say to the one who looking for a relationship with Jesus, and I would say to the one who kind of like straddling in the fence, don't have a solid relationship with the Lord. And this hour, I admonish everyone under the sound of our voice. If you don't have God, this is your opportunity to get saved. You know, getting saved is not stopping everything overnight. Getting saved is just believing that Jesus died and rose on the third day with all power in his hand. And if you believe that, Romans 10:9 says that you are saved. I would say to the one that's straddling the fence, get back to your first love. Get back in your word. Get in the gospel. Even if you can under the sound of our voice and you just receiving Christ, get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get in Proverbs. Proverbs will teach you, give you more some wisdom on how to walk this walk and get to know yourself as a spiritual being. Get in Acts, because today we're kind of walking in Acts. I just admonish the people of God, those who ain't saved. This is the time to get in the Lord. In the beginning of the Bible, they talk about Noah, what was building the ark and telling everybody that rain was coming and this and that was coming, just paraphrasing the scripture. Today, I just send warning across the airway that if you ain't anchored and if you ain't in the ark of safety, you know, trouble getting ready to hit this land. And you got to be in a place where you can have the peace of God, that you'll know, you have the assurance of God. God is just like these life assurances. We see people dying all over the world, tragedies all over the world, wars all over the world. And Jesus Christ is the best assurance policy that you can have in this hour. So my word to you across the airwave, across the world, the country, whatever, get in Jesus. And I pray that God send laborers in your path, because the Bible tells us that only one plant, one water, but God give the increase. So
I'm
praying for laborers across the airwave today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Minister Jackson.
It's like, you know, when we come into the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God's word, and we are telling people about the power of God and what the capabilities of God, what his word can do. You know, people are inclined to listen to the word of God, but they are looking at your actions more so than anything. So don't just speak and preach the word, but people are watching to see if you're living according to what you're speaking. So just be mindful of what you do. You know, do not let your good be evil spoken of. And again, I thank each and every one of you all for enlightening me and for, you know, for reeling me back in, I'll put it like that. And I thank God for people like you all on my side. And I thank God for this radio broadcast, because it's really breaking chains. It's having great impact in people's lives, because it's all about the truth. It's all about spreading the word of God. It's not about us. It's not about you know, the individual. It's all about Jesus Christ, because neither one of us hung on that cross. Only Jesus hung on that cross. But we to stand before him one day and be held accountable all by ourselves. Mama can't hold your hand. Daddy can't hold your hand. Brother can't. You got to stand before God for your one self, and he's not taking no excuses. Jesus is not coming back to hang on the cross this go around. He's not coming back to hear no I'm sorry. He's coming back to judge you accordingly to what you have done, your works.
So be mindful.
Don't try to impress man. Just do the will of God. Let God's will be done in every area of your life, and he will break those chains. He will break those chains.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Chains will be broken. All right, Pastor Gant, I want you to give your comments and prayers out of here, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Wide is the wide is the gate that leadeth unto
my Lord, come on.
But narrow is the path that leadeth unto righteousness.
That's
right. And every now and then you might find a traveler therein. This thing is serious, y'all. We started off talking about the confusion in the churches and the confusion and in the denominations and all of those things. Well, y'all, let me tell you something. God has tasked you to preach in this end time ministry. I behoove you to preach because it's life or death. There's no way that I'm going to stand in front of God and tell God, Father, we lost this generation on my watch.
Amen. And
remember what Jesus Christ said. He said there are going to be many in that last day that are going to come in that judgment day that are going to come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't
Lord,
we prophesy in your name? They're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we build these churches in your name? And he's going to say, depart
Get
from
thee away.
Me, you worker of iniquity.
I never knew thee.
Yes,
my sister was talking about Noah, and as she was talking about Noah, look, y'all, this man preached for 120 years that it was going to rain.
Amen.
And then nobody gets saved but him and his family.
Okay.
Y'all, this is serious out here. It is serious out here.
Yes,
sir. Amen. All right. I thank God for all of you that was on the line today. And I want to remind you that this is end time ministry. You're going to have to preach like you've never preached before because that blood. I'm not going before him with any blood on my hand.
Me, the pastor. I know that's right.
That
Amen.
Blood is going to be on your hand. The blood of this wayward generation is not going to be on my hand. I'm going to preach the truth, whether they want to hear it or not.
Amen.
Amen. I love all the women, all the P38 women. I love you all for having us on your show. I thank God for you. Let's pray us out. Father God, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask right now that this word go forth in power and in anointing, that it breaks every yoke.
In the name of
Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
I love y'all. Have yourself a blessed night. And got the ladies
like
doing
Ryan,
the walk
Pastor.
Call. Oh, boy. Yes, indeed. Do it again, ladies.
All right, now. I feel some power in that thing.
Yeah, I tell you. Everybody have a blessed night, and much love goes out to everybody. Have a good one.
Likewise.
Good night, y'all. Love y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you,
love
too.
You. Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.